So my message is probably going to tie in a little bit to last week, even though I wasn't here and I unfortunately didn't get to hear the whole message. But what I did hear was really good. So when we pastored in Kimberley, that was quite a few years ago, I used to go hunting for elk occasionally. Elk were plentiful there, and one of the board members, who was a really good friend, was an avid hunter, and he would take me out, and he was so avid that he wanted to be out hunting. Actually, he wanted to leave the house and walk into where we were hunting and arrive well before sunset or sunrise. Which meant there were times when I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because he was leaving at 4:30, and if I missed him, I was on my own. You know, I really enjoyed hunting. His name was George. He was a great guy. We had good times of fellowship and prayer when we were out hunting. But it didn't matter if I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning to go hunting. Kathy would always get up too. At 4 o'clock in the morning, she would get up with me. She would make my breakfast, and while I was eating that delicious breakfast, she would pack my lunch for the day. 4 o'clock in the morning. I never asked her to do that. And she told me later the reason she did that was she didn't want to stay in bed and think that I'd gone out hunting and got shot and she didn't get up and see me that last morning before I got shot. That was quite a thought. I never thought about getting shot, but let me tell you the truth as I saw it. Kathy got up in the mornings for me alone. She never made breakfast for anyone else. She never invited George over for breakfast or anyone else over for breakfast at 4 o'clock in the morning. She got up and made breakfast for me alone. She did it for me. And she did it out of pure love. She never did it because I asked her to, or because somebody told her she should. You know, that's what a good wife should do, is get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make breakfast. I'm not going to advocate that. I want to live a few more days. But, you know, nobody told her that she should do it. In fact, there were many times the night before I would say, don't get up in the morning. You're tired or whatever. Don't get up in the morning. It's okay. I can make my own breakfast. I know how to pour a bowl of cereal. It's not as good as the bacon and eggs you're going to make me, but I know how to pour the bowl of cereal, and I know how to pack my own lunch. But yet, she got up, and she did it because she loved me the most. That's the reason she did it. And it was a great sacrifice for Kathy to get up those mornings. I'm sure on a cold fall morning in Kimberley, it would be a way easier to just stay in bed. If I wasn't going hunting, I wasn't getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was warm in bed. But she sacrificed for me. She did it for me. I tried to repay her for that love by bringing home some wild game, but it never did work. Because every time I went out hunting, it seemed like the elk and the deer, they just knew I was coming, and they hid. They were never around. And then when I came home, they'd be in my backyard. The deer would, anyhow. But, you know, I think the real reason Kath got up at 4 o'clock in the morning was so she could pray that I wouldn't shoot anything, because she does not like wild game. But Kathy got up those mornings. She got up those mornings for me alone. She got up and did that out of pure love for me. She did it out of great sacrifice. And this morning I'd like to talk about another woman, a woman we find in the Bible, we read about in Matthew, Mark, and John. Let's just read about her. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 26 and verses 6 to 13. It's a lengthy little portion, but let's just read it. Well, Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the leper. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured the perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, whenever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be also told in memory of her." This whole incident is taking place at the end of Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry. It is the Saturday night before his triumphal entry. So it's just a week before Jesus dies on the cross. John declares in his account of the woman that the woman's name is Mary. Jesus is in Bethany and goes to the home of Simon the leper, who was putting on a meal for Jesus in his honor. Bethany is where his good friends Lazarus, Martha, and Mary lived. And as Jesus was reclining at the table, Mary comes along with an alabaster jar of perfume, and she pours it upon his head and on his feet. The smell of the perfume immediately fills the room, and some of the disciples start to complain. They're concerned about the money that is being wasted here. They say, "Why this waste?" The disciples think the expensive perfume should have been sold and the money given to the poor. And let's just read again in Matthew chapter 26, verse 10. Aware of this, so Jesus is aware of what's going on and the disciples murmuring to one another and their thoughts that the perfume should have been sold and the money given to the poor and that this was just a waste. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." You know, I could have said that Kathy, when she got up with me those mornings, did a beautiful thing to me. And as we read the account here, we might wonder, how could this be a beautiful thing that she did to Jesus? I mean, she didn't just take a few drops of perfume and just put them on his head, you know, and maybe a couple drops on his feet. No, she takes a jar of perfume, an alabaster jar of perfume. I'm not sure how big it is, but it's a jar no matter. Breaks the top off and pours it on his head. So you can imagine, he had a little more hair than me probably. And it ran down his hair, into his beard, onto his robes. Oh, it would have smelt like, I'm not a real big one for perfume. Truthfully, if that had been done to me, I would have been heading for the door looking for fresh air really quick. Yet Jesus says, he commends Mary by saying, she has done a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing because it was done to glorify Jesus alone. Nobody else. Jesus alone. It was done out of pure love for Jesus. And it was done with great sacrifice. The whole scene takes place at Simon's home, which is filled with people having a meal in honor of Jesus. I mean, the disciples are there, Lazarus is there, Martha's there. There could have been other guests there, we're not told. We don't know how many people are there, but Mary's not talking with the other people. She's not talking with the disciples or with her brother or sister or with Simon or any of the other guests. In fact, she's not even talking with Jesus. She just goes over to Jesus. She's totally focused on him and she anoints him with the perfume, not being concerned about who else is around or what they might say. She was solely focused on glorifying Jesus. Mary was not looking for the approval of men. We never read of her coming and discussing, you know, do you think I should anoint Jesus today when he comes to Simon's house? We never read about it afterwards that she says, oh, did you see what I did when I was at Simon's house and all the disciples were there? I anointed Jesus with this expensive perfume. And like I said, we never hear her saying anything to Jesus. She doesn't even ask his approval. She just anoints him. It's all about Jesus. It is totally focused on glorifying Jesus alone. Mary had seen Jesus raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. She had sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his incredible teaching. Jesus was her teacher and her friend. Yet at this time, I don't think these things were going through her head. I don't think she was thinking about his teaching and how he had raised Lazarus from the dead or anything. I believe she was just caught up in being in the presence of Jesus. She just wanted to glorify Jesus by anointing him with oil. It was like Marilyn was saying last week, Jesus is worthy. And Mary had just got to that part where Jesus is so worthy of everything. And she just wanted to anoint him. She couldn't care anything about the dinner. She wasn't concerned about anything else. It was all about anointing Jesus and being in his presence. And she does this beautiful thing. She glorifies him. We need to get to a place in our lives where we are filled with worship. Not so much because of what Jesus has done. I mean, he's done amazing things in our lives and in the lives of the church and others and in the world. He's just done incredible things. But it's more than that. It's for who he is. Do we have a desire to glorify Jesus no matter who is around? Because we are focused only on him? Do we get caught up being in his presence and just want to pour out our hearts on him? Maybe we don't have an alabaster jar of perfume, and that's okay. But if we just pour our hearts out on Jesus, we will glorify him. David wrote, "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." That's in Psalm 34, verse 3. And then also David wrote in Psalm 63, verse 3, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." David's not concerned about his life. He's not concerned about what's happening in his life. He just wants to glorify his heavenly Father. And then David again wrote, "I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever." David's not interested in just glorifying God once. It's forever. It's with his life. It's all the time. He did it with all his heart. That's what Mary did, wasn't it? She anointed Jesus with the alabaster jar of perfume. She glorified him with the jar, but it was with her heart, all her heart, she glorified him. Mary glorified Jesus alone by anointing him with perfume. David glorified his Lord with his praise and with his lips. I'm not here today to tell you how you should show God the glory that he alone deserves. It needs to be something that comes from our hearts, something that's spontaneous, something that's from the overflow of our hearts. We could glorify Jesus through serving others or worshiping or sharing Jesus with our friends and neighbors. Or with some other act. There's many ways, just living for Jesus, we can glorify him, but he needs to be seen and glorified. And as we glorify God alone, as we glorify Jesus, we will hear him say, "You have done a beautiful thing. You have done a beautiful thing." You know, I don't have this written down, but I think Kathy glorified Jesus when she got up in the mornings and made me breakfast and my lunch when I went hunting. It was probably more for him than for me, but she did it. And I think she did a beautiful thing. What Mary did when she anointed Jesus, when she glorified Jesus with the perfume, was an act of pure love. And you know, pure love is not done as thanks for what has been done for us. Mary wasn't anointing Jesus for what he had done. The Father shows us what real pure love is, and it has nothing to do with being thankful. Nothing. Listen to what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. "This is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." God doesn't wait for, "Oh, Scott, you've done something good. Now I'll do something for you. I'll pour out my love on you because you've done something." No. Not at all. In fact, we read in Romans chapter 5 and 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still righteous, No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get clean because we needed him to get clean. We did nothing to deserve God's pure love. But he poured out his love on us unconditionally. Unconditionally for us. Out of pure love. Pure love is never based on what someone has done. It's all about who they are. Let me ask you this. Did Kathy get up at 4 in the morning when I was going hunting to make me breakfast and lunch because she was thankful for the things I had done? Not likely. Not likely. It was out of pure love. We need to glorify Jesus because of who he is and say, as the hymn writer wrote, all my love is due him. All my love is due him. In doing this, we will hear the words, you have done a beautiful thing. When Mary poured out the perfume on Jesus, when she glorified Jesus, it was an act of sacrifice. We are told in John's account of this that the perfume was worth a year's wages, a man's wages, a whole year. It was not just some cheap perfume. It was the top of the line, spikenard, the finest one could buy. Mary probably had saved for years to buy this jar of alabaster perfume. And when she finally got enough money for it, she probably put it up on a shelf in a safe place and it had sitting there. Maybe for the day she was going to get married, who knows? But she was saving it for that special occasion. This perfume that she had spent so much money on and kept for so long, she poured out upon Jesus without any hesitation. She anointed Jesus. She sacrificed everything she had saved for and kept. She sacrificed the finest she had and poured it on Jesus out of pure love. Do we just honor and glorify our Heavenly Father from our abundance or when it's convenient to us? Those are hard questions, but questions we need to ponder. Sometimes it's a real sacrifice to live for Jesus in front of others, in front of our family, our friends, our neighbors. They might ridicule us. They might even disown us. I mean, I know many in the Chinese church in Vancouver, which we ministered at while I was going to Bible college, that when they came to the Lord, their family actually disowned them. They, especially if they were the male, they disowned them. They wanted nothing to do with them. It's the same in many religions if they turn to Jesus. But if we will glorify him by sacrificing all we have, the best we have, he will be exalted. As we sacrificially glorify Jesus, we will have done a beautiful thing. Are we glorifying Jesus out of pure love, even when it might be a sacrifice? The disciples called what Mary did a waste. Someone wrote that the word waste here means to give more than necessary. That's what a waste is to give more than necessary. So my question is it possible to give more than necessary to glorify Jesus? How much love is more than necessary? How much sacrifice is more than necessary? I would say that we can't give more than necessary to glorify Jesus. Absolutely not. No amount of love or sacrifice will ever be more than necessary. Will never be enough, actually, to glorify Jesus. But we give him our all. So I'll leave you and me with this question this morning. How will we glorify Jesus in the days to come? How will we glorify Jesus this afternoon or tomorrow or next Wednesday or Friday? I mean, it's easy to glorify Jesus when we gather together here in his presence, and that's important. But how will we glorify him throughout the rest of the week? As we do glorify him, we have done a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing for Jesus. And our neighbors and our friends and our family, when they see that, they want to know why we would do such a beautiful thing. And we can say, it's because of our love. Because of our love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, we ask that we would never shrink back, but that we would do a beautiful thing, that we would glorify you, whether we're in the post office or the grocery store, whether we're at the gas station, whether we're at home with our family, or whether we're out for a walk, no matter where we are, that we would do a beautiful thing by glorifying your name and you. Father, may you be high and lifted up. For the scripture says, if we glorify you and you're high and lifted up, you will draw men and women and children to you. And that's our heart's desire. That's why we want to be Christ-centered, people-centered. Thank you, Father, for all you've done. Help us to glorify you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.